Good morning, everybody. Call our meeting to order. We've got 9 o'clock, a couple minutes after. All commissioners present, and we'll open with prayer and then the pledge. Everybody stand with me.
Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we bow before you and recognize you this morning as we begin this work and ask your help, Father. We pray for all of our governments, from local, state, and federal governments of the United States, that you would show us mercy, God, and direct leaders. Take care of those that serve us, the military and emergency services. We thank you, God, for your hand on us, and we ask for it to continue. In Christ's name, amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Next on our agenda is meeting minutes. Got August 24th and 25th. Any questions or comments?
Yeah. 25th, I think I submitted back to the clerk with some grammatical errors and dates and votes error. Let me make sure it's the right one here. Excuse me, sir. Is the 24th the issue? Okay. So the 24th had a vote that Danny had abstained from, but actually said he voted. And then the date of the countywide auction was incorrect, but they're going to have to listen to the audio probably to...
You did it.
It is corrected?
Did you correct those? And did you have my abstaining on the vote?
Okay.
Okay. I guess we could go ahead and approve if those two corrections have been...
With the corrections. So what, they had the... countywide cleanup was the 23rd, not the 18th, and then Danny had abstained from one road that we took in, and it had him down. So that was the only two corrections that I saw.
Are those corrections in these that we're looking at, you think? Okay.
The 24th.
Okay. Okay. One question I had on the 24th was, we voted on the signing the payroll prevailing wage documentation for Tiger II projects. The first motion just simply said for the Tiger II projects. Then later in the day, we voted to reconsider. And the motion states, Commissioner Strophas moved to reconsider earlier vote. That passed. Then Strophas moved to authorize to sign the prevailing wage documents for the Tiger II grant on Maple Street. The title on both of those was Maple Street and Highway 165 and Fall Creek Road.
It should be both.
The second motion should be?
Mm-hmm. It's for both Tiger II applications.
Well, that makes sense. But what puzzled me when I saw that or read it was, why did we reconsider? Was
time,
it just that wording?
Because the time, we had actually voted too early.
Oh, it wasn't posted.
It wasn't posted.
Okay. It was real close posting, so we
right.
reconsidered.
I remember.
Yep.
Yep. Okay. So we need to correct the second motion to include the Highway 165 and Fall Creek. Is that correct?
Correct. Yep.
Okay. How about a motion?
Motion to approve 824 and 825 with corrections and that one addition.
On
the 24th of the Tiger II grant.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. I think we're good.
Mm-hmm.
All of them in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. All right. Next we've got accounts payable. Ready to vote on those?
Yep. Motion to approve accounts payable.
I'll second the motion. Any questions or comments?
I didn't get through all of them, so I'm going to abstain on them.
Okay. I have a comment. It's an old comment that I make about every month. Of those accounts payable we have included in is $170,000, round figures, to the city of Branson for TIF payments.
And as I've said for months and months, I'm not happy about that situation. And I was even thinking about it as I read them this morning. Years ago, we hired a St. Louis attorney to look into that. We got to the point that we felt the change at the Branson City Council probably wasn't necessary to move forward with that. But we questioned the legality of those tips. So anyway, I've ground my axe once again. Thank you for listening to me.
But one of the reasons that it did drop too and should be mentioned is the chief leading counsel for us passed away in the firm.
Actually, that was the first firm. The second firm that I was referring to, that guy was from Kansas City. The second firm was St. Louis. And we just came to the point that we didn't feel like it was necessary to continue to spend attorney dollars on it. Anyway, thanks for listening to me on that. All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. Don't believe there are any journal entries or transfers.
I didn't see any.
So we're ready. Bob?
Hold on.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
Did.
On the
minutes.
On the minutes.
I mean, the accounts payable.
I will abstain on that.
Thank you.
Thanks for watching us, sir. And Bob.
I don't know when you want me to do it, but Bob Dixon had asked me to bring up something just during the public comment or whatever portion about the mechanics lien law.
Great.
And last Monday we didn't have a meeting, so I waited until today.
This would be a good time.
Okay.
I think. This is
I'll just sit here and do it.
Important issue.
Anyway, let me go ahead and give each of you a copy of this from Mr. Dixon. And, well, one of you share with somebody else. I'll give one to each of the two people.
Well, Bob, why don't we just have one of those and I'll give them a copy after we're done so we can at least all follow along.
I'm not going to really go through too much of the statute. I'm just going to hit the highlights of it. Mr. Dixon had wanted me to bring it up because it takes effect or took effect Saturday, August 28th, 2010. However, if you look at the last paragraph of the statute, it doesn't apply until closings on real estate that occur on or after November 1st. So that while it's taken effect, it still won't have an effect. It applies to this is concerning mechanics liens and the new rules for mechanics liens, and it could directly impact claimants and contractors. It only affects residential units, 4 units or under. While it's not well worded, I believe that that's the intent. Residential properties, 4 units or under with a one person owner. Number two, it requires the claimant or the contractor to file a notice of rights in the recorder's office at least 5 days before the intended date of closing, stated in the notice of intended sale. Okay? So if the claimant fails to record a timely notice of rights, he waives and forfeits any right to a mechanics lien. He can still, have a contract action or any other rights, but it affects his mechanic lien rights. He has to file this notice of rights at least 5 days before the notice of intended sale. The notice of intended sale will be stated in the notice of intended sale, which is also filed with the recorder. Notwithstanding any other provision of this section, a notice of rights recorded after the sale to a bona fide purchaser shall not be effective to preserve mechanics liens rights. So, in other words, you can't file this notice of rights after the sale if the person buying it was buying it in good faith. So even if you're 5 days before the notice of intended sale, I guess, if you file it after the sale to a bona fide purchaser, it's not a good notice of rights. Number four, the recorder records the notice of rights in the land records, an index, which makes it easier for the title companies. Before this, any mechanics liens would be filed over in the circuit court. The owner is listed as the grantor, and the claimant or filer of the notice is the grantee. So that will And number five, the owner of property who contracts with contractors to prepare improvements for sale of the property. In other words, if I own a piece of property and I'm building a house on it to sell and I contract with somebody and I'm the owner, then I need to, and I have to record, it says I shall record a notice of intended sale in the recorder's office. And this must be filed not later than 45 calendar days prior to the earliest calendar date that the owner intends to close on the sale of the property. So in other words, if I own a piece of property and I'm having a house built on it and I hire some people to do the work on the house so I can sell it, I have to file this notice of the intended date of sale in the recorder's office at least 45 days prior to selling the property. And only one notice of intended sale has to be filed or is to be filed, even if the date is later postponed. This notice must also be posted on the subject property, the property that I'm selling. And I have some questions about that. I mean, obviously, some things are going to come up involving the new statute, but does this mean an owner cannot sell the property unless he files one of these notices? I doubt that that's the case, but you know, possibly, I guess. And if he can sell despite not filing one, I guess maybe if he never files one, then a claimant can't file his notice of rights, won't know when, and if he files it after the sale, it won't be any good. So there's some potential problems here. Also, there doesn't seem to be a limitation on how early the notice of intended sale is filed. So if I have a piece of property and I want to sell a house on it, go ahead and file that that notice real quick, and then I start contracting with people to work on it. I've already filed my notice, and they may not get it done 5 days prior to my notice of intended sale. So there's some things that are going to come up involving this statute, I guess. And then there's a 5 days full final waiver, lien waivers at the end when the contractor says, okay, you paid me and everybody's been paid. Here's the full and final lien waiver. If you get notice from the owner that you want the mechanic's lien waiver, full and final waiver, you have to give it to him within 5 days, or there's a presumption of slander of title and there's a statutory penalty of $500. And possibly some other things. So these are some of the highlights. These are all new requirements, and my understanding is that some of the title company people wanted this legislation. It makes it easier for them to search the records. It makes it easier for them to have some finality, and they won't be selling property subject to mechanics liens. It makes people file releases of the mechanics lien timely because a lot of those stay on the books. It's something the title companies wanted, but it's going to make things very difficult for small contractors, and it's going to change some things, and people need to be aware of it, or they may end up shall we say, not having mechanics lien rights and being put in a disadvantageous situation. And Mr. Dixon just wanted me to bring it up because it took effect August 28th, but it will only affect closings November 1st or after.
Bob, you mentioned small contractors. I think one of the main points is to let folks know the best we can that are affected by it. You mentioned small contractors, vendors like a lumber supply or plumbing or electrical. Those folks need to be aware of this change.
Correct.
As well as lenders, banks, somebody loaning money. What am I missing there? Who else should be aware of this change?
Well, the banks.
Cause them problems.
The banks, developers, anybody involved around the construction business. And I'll just make a mention that it's section 429.016 for anybody that's interested in looking at it. And again, Mr. Dixon wanted me to bring this to the public's attention because it could have some substantial effect on people in the construction area.
Very good. We appreciate you and him working on that, looking at that. Anything else on that?
Yeah, I don't like it. Okay. I'll tell you, I just think it's totally ridiculous that the man that's out here doing the stinking work, and the guy that's right now, he has to keep the lien up. It's his responsibility to pay all the dollars to keep the lien to get his own money, and then turn around and to add to the laws that gives the bigger loopholes to the developers and the owners of the building to beat out the people that they owe money. It just doesn't make any sense to me. It looks to me like they could spend their time doing something better than this.
They be in the state legislature.
Yes.
Mechanics Lane, and I agree actually with Mr. Strahan, but let me just state that it's already really difficult to file a Mechanics Lane. It's really hyper-technical. You have to have a just and true account, and it's almost impossible to have a just and true account. This bill actually makes it a little bit easier to list a just and true account when you're the claimant. It makes a couple of things easier for the claimant, but it also makes some things more difficult. So I don't know if it's a good bill or if it's not, but people need to know about it.
Okay. Anything else? All right. Public comment. We got Glenn Amundson. Glenn, come up to the mic, please. Welcome.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. My name is Glenn Amundson. I reside in Walnut Shade, Missouri. I addressed the commissioners today. My concern is the continual disagreement and bickering among our commissioners. I am concerned when I hear feedback from our surrounding communities about this issue. What's going on? What's on first? It hasn't stopped. It just keeps going. I travel to Ozark, Nixa, Springfield, and all communities in this area, and I continually hear about this. Taney County is a multi-million dollar business, and it needs to be run as such. Large businesses, I don't believe, would run a business with continual disagreement and bickering. And I challenge you commissioners to run this county in a professional, courteous manner. And that's all I have to say.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? That it? Okay. New and old business. We have nothing down there. So is there anything else before we go into our weekly agenda? Nope. All right. We'll take a couple minute recess and get out our weekly agenda and start on in. Thanks for being here.